Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
It is The Savage Nation, and we are dancing to techno music. Moved out of the rock and roll phase for a while. I don't know why. I have no idea why. I have no idea why the world is changing so quickly that I may just remain the same. Welcome to the program. I haven't changed in the 20 years I've been on radio. If I listen to the tapes of me on the first day, I'm the same guy. Hello, how are you? What would you like me to talk about? I'll tell you what I want to talk about. And everyone says, you know, yesterday's opening was the best you've done in years. There was not one caller. We were captivated listening to your personal stories of your weekend. And not one light lit up of a caller. That's the reverse of what people in radio look for. They look for feedback. So they can throw out stuff to get you angry and you'll call immediately. That's what most of talk radio has become. Real anger, fake anger, righteous indignation, unrighteous indignation, righteous indignation, unrighteous indignation, and, oh, I'm mad, and you should be mad, but I mean, at a certain point, how can you listen to it? So two things I'm not going to talk about today. One is the new iPhone. That's a Dick Tracy two-way radio, TV, watch, don't care, could care less. It'll set your wrist on fire and cause wrist cancer. That's number one. The second thing I'm not going to talk about is an NFL player who punched his wife in an elevator. I thought they all do that. That's unusual. It was just the first one caught on tape. So that's something for me to talk about? Isn't that inherent in the league? I mean, they're thugs. What do you think? So I'm not going to talk about it. I'm going to talk about a couple other things. But wait, I got to get the article for you. Hold on. Here it is. It's in the computer. It's in the machine. Marriage of newlyweds ages 96 and 95 caught my attention. A 95-year-old man, Eddie Harrison, married a woman, Edith Hill, 96, and everyone is saying it's only for the money. This is very funny. But the guy said, I guess I wanted some company. He said, I wanted somebody I could help, and they could help me. We were both single. My husband was gone. His wife was gone. We became the best of friends. And then the granddaughter of the woman, she's black, by the way, and he's white, which is really shocking to everyone but them, said the relationship is much more romantic than Hill's explanation allows. The granddaughter says, you catch them kissing all the time. They're actually in love, really in love. I know he's part of the reason she gets up every morning. Can you believe this? Isn't this interesting? Now, why is this interesting? I once had a housekeeper, an elderly lady, who told me that her father had sex until he was in his 90s. I thought that was remarkable and very optimistic, to be honest with you. In an age of such despair, and an age of such depression, in an age of such fear, in an age of such lies about sexuality, I thought that was a very inspiring story that you can have sex till you're 90. Just think about that one. Now that I've gotten through with the humor, let's go into the reality of the day. Remember yesterday and the day before yesterday and last Thursday and last Wednesday and whatever, I was talking about the cluster of the mystery virus and illegal aliens? Well, of course it was picked up by others who copied the exact transcript of my show. Literally my own words are now being used by others, and they're saying that they're their own, which is very interesting. Suddenly they've gone from high school dropout to a PhD epidemiologist, which is great. But that's not the point. I ask questions on my show that are very important, and of course the government is lying to you. And I'm asking the questions again. The virus outbreak in the Midwest and the TB outbreak in Lynn, Massachusetts are, in my opinion, directly related to Obama's dumping of illegal aliens into America. Now, I can't prove it, but it's very easily proven or disproven. And any rational scientist, especially one who calls themselves a member of the Centers for Disease Control, would want to explore that, wouldn't they? But no, not this group of propagandists. These Stalinists with medical and PhD degrees are disgraceful. Here's a spokesmouth for the CDC, says the following. And I got to read it to you because you're not going to believe this. They're convinced that it has nothing to do with the dumping of illegals. How can they be sure of that? There's one way to find out, right? It's very easy. What you do is you look at the strain of virus that has infected the children, and then you look at the strain of virus that was endemic in Nicaragua, and El Salvador. And if they're the same, you say, well, it's pretty clear that Obama's responsible for this viral outbreak and he should be impeached for this alone. But you know that won't happen because he owns the CDC and these little tiny scientists, these minuscule men and these minuscule women in the CDC won't even investigate that. And by the way, it's all to our detriment. And as I said to you last night on the Savage Nation, microbes do not discriminate. They don't care if you're a good Democrat, liberal. They don't care. They'll infect you just as well. And the only reason that you're not hearing about it is because nobody in New York has been infected with this yet. It hasn't hit the Upper East Side yet. Hasn't hit Washington, D.C. Hasn't hit San Francisco. And you know why? Because Obama didn't dump illegals there. He only dumped them in areas where people might have voted against a Democrat. In July, Savage warned of rampant spread of once contained or eradicated diseases reentering the U.S. through the latest flood of illegal aliens. I said that so what do I want? A halo for this? I want a medal, a Boy Scout Medal of Honor. I don't know what I want. It's getting me sick, though. What's getting me sick is the diseased minds that are running America. This is really getting me sick. But I could see already I'm on the wrong track. I don't want to go here. I don't want to do this. The minute I start talking about disease, death, and dying, I feel my head closing down on me. I feel like a headache about to clamp. Remember those ads years ago on TV? A headache is about, it was an Anacin ad. I remember that when I was a kid. And it showed like a large vice around the guy who's at work. And the vice is slow. You know, the ads of the 50s were really great. And 60s, a headache is about to clamp. And they show the guy's head like about to explode. That's about me on radio right now, but I'm not going to reach for a pill. I'm going to reach for another story. What I'm gonna do. You know, I'd rather talk about my perfect recipe for making hard-boiled eggs. After a lifetime of trying to make a hard-boiled egg that doesn't break in the pot. See, if you're a young person, you have to learn basic techniques. If you're a single guy in your 20s or 30s, I bet you don't know how to make a hard-boiled egg for yourself. You don't, but there's a simple trick to it, which I'll tell you about later on the show. And a hard-boiled egg is hard to find. A good hard-boiled egg is hard to find, and it's even harder to make. Because if you're an inexperienced hard-boiled egg maker, usually what you'll do is you'll boil the water and put the eggs in, and immediately the egg will break open in the pot. And you'll say, how did that happen? How did my mother make a hard-boiled egg that I could take to school? I have all of the answers to everything. 855-400-728. I'm still not in the mood to do politics. I can't get there. I can't do it. I just can't do it. I can't. I'm gagging on it. Do you want me to talk about disease or how to make a hard-boiled egg? I could do that. An enemy of America could never cause as much calamity and damage as Obama has done to this country. I said that too. Finally, you got it. Okay, shall I move on now? What else do you want to talk about? So you have people brought in from the jungles of El Salvador and Guatemala. They have never had basic health care, no sanitary water, sewage in the streets. You then bring them to a first world society that is hygienic. And what you have is an outbreak of infections along the lines of what happened to the native populations of the South Pacific when the white whalers came in and decimated them with diseases. By accident, by the way, not on purpose. Diseases were brought in by white whalers, Europeans, who were whaling in the area, killing whales and bringing them back for the whale oil, the blubber, whatever. And they contacted the indigenous peoples of Marquesas and Tahiti. And not on purpose, but they picked up the virus or the bacteria of the time. And the people had no immunity whatsoever. And almost the entire population was wiped out. We are now like those people in those islands being invaded by third worlders who are diseased with microbes for which we have no immunity. Write that one down. Obama should be impeached for dumping these children on America. Did you hear me? What would you like to talk about? I mean, eggs, heart disease, death, decaying, dying. Anything you'd like to talk about? Sex at 90? I actually was going to make sex at 90 a story today, but then I realized it might not be that popular. But you see a man 95 marrying a woman 96. And the best line in here is about the racial issue. This is hilarious. The author of the article from the Associated Press tries to put a racial element into this. And the old people look at her like she's insane. And she says to them, you realize that you couldn't have gotten married years ago because of the laws. Edith Hill, for her part, doesn't give the interracial aspect of her marriage too much thought. She says, asked about the old laws barring interracial marriage, she said, that's done away with, isn't it? She's 96. But the moron reporter tried to inject racial laws from 30 years ago into this discussion of a 96-year-old marrying a 95-year-old. It's beyond belief how stupid these reporters are. You hear me? I want to talk about... Do you know anyone over the age of X who is still active sexually? Say, what? How can you even talk about it? I don't know. I feel like talking about it. Because it's an interesting encouragement for most listeners to think that... Let me tell you why. Let's say you're over the age of 40 and you're not with anyone. You had a bad marriage. You never got married. Or say over 50, whatever you want to say. And you figure it's over. And you just dry up, turn into like a raisin rather than a prune. I mean, don't you want to be a prune again rather than a raisin? I'm sorry. Wouldn't you rather be a plum than a prune or a raisin? That's what I'm trying to say. Why not look forward to becoming a plum instead of remaining a raisin? That's not a bad title for a book. I'm sure some young lady listening to the show has already got the agent on the phone. Turning a Raisin into a Plum by Rebecca Whatever, M.D. Does anyone want me to talk about any of this stuff? I could read the thesaurus for you rather than do the news. I happen to like the thesaurus a lot. It's an interesting book. I don't think they're allowed in schools anymore. They're considered tools, racist tools. The new pocket Roget's thesaurus is not allowed in American high schools anymore because it's too complicated. See, if you look at the word expression and you see that the synonyms for expression are such, articulate, vocal, facile, glibber, voluble, those are trick words. The average rap star can't pronounce those words, so therefore they must be racist words. Or let's take another word, for example, from the thesaurus. Does anyone in this audience know what a thesaurus is? Don't raise your hand. I'm sure if you went to high school before 1990, you know what a thesaurus is. It almost sounds like a dirty word. Hey, man, can I have that thesaurus? Give me the synonyms for Obama. That would be an interesting one. Give me five synonyms for Obama. I'll give you one. Cold, cold-blooded, refrigeration, refrigerator, refrigerant. Hey, does Obama have blood or does he have refrigerant in his veins? That's not a bad line. Write that one down. It'll be on someone's show tomorrow. Does Obama have blood or refrigerant in his brain? In his veins. Play the retro music. I got to start the show later. I'm just not in the mood for it. I'm not doing politics anymore. I can't handle it. It's so horrible. I feel like you do. Pride, exaltation, immodesty, swagger, superiority, condescension, patronage, snobbery, self-esteem, self-respect. So that's Obama. He has false pride, false exaltation, false immodesty, false swagger, false superiority. That curled lip of his and who was the Italian dictator? That Benito Mussolini look? Haughtiness, conceit, self-pride, egotist, condescend, be conceited, filled with pride, proud, haughty, arrogant, overbearing, conceited. Let's have some synonyms for priest. That's a loaded word. Priest used to be associated with divinity. Not anymore. You say priest, what's the first word that comes to your mind now? Molestation. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Your Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust for tangible assets, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN. Talk about ISIS, icicles, schmices. I don't want to talk about it. We know what's going on. We know what needs to be done. They need to be atomized. That's what nuclear weapons were invented for. A little tactical nuclear weapon in the proper desert area would be a real cure for the problem. Instead, Obama's going to contain them. You hear? It'll take longer than World War II now to contain them. It's like rats out of control. Just drop it on them, and that's the end of it. You know where they're located. Oh, you don't want collateral damage? Then fight them for the next 500 years. That's all. Truman didn't care about the collateral damage when he dropped the bomb in Hiroshima and Nagasaki. Of course innocent Japanese women and children were killed. It saved a million American lives in another 5 years of war. That was the calculation when we had a real man in the White House instead of an equivocator, if you want to put it in a nice term. Oh, my God, look what I have to explain every day. That's why I don't want to do politics. Common sense tells you what to do with everything. It's that simple. But there is none. Everything is the agenda, the Alinsky agenda, the this agenda, the that agenda. Okay, caller, Jim, line six, KKOB, New Mexico. You're on the Savage Nation, Jim. What's on your mind?
Hey, you talk about whatever you want to. When you do, you're compelling. And that's what we all want.
You know, in other words, if I go from old people having sex to ISIS, it's okay.
Yeah. I mean,
why not? It's only radio. It's not a college class. I'm not being rated on consistency here, am I?
No. The only thing you should do
is somebody ranking me on consistency? He was inconsistent from 12 to 12:30. Today, we have to give him a D. I mean, what's wrong with inconsistency? Bakersfield, California, K-R-E-N. I like Bakersfield, I'll tell you why. Craig, welcome to the show. I like Bakersfield. Every time I drive through it on the way to L.A., I always love looking at the oil. I love seeing the oil towers. I like the grapevine. I love going over the grapevine into L.A. How are you today, Craig?
I'm doing great, Michael. I really want to add upon the topic about elderly having sex. And a few years ago, I had a health study I was involved in. I had to speak to participants. And one of the individuals was in an elderly, community or retirement community, basically. And unfortunately, the topic I had to ask about his sexual activity, I felt a bit embarrassed. And he said, "Well, let's just say I'm a widower, and I have the choice of 40 widows at this time. So I'll let you know the answer to that."
No, question. I heard it's 20-1. The ratio is 20 men to one woman in most of the old age homes, but I was told 30 years ago by a doctor who worked in one that there's rampant sexuality in these old age homes. And in fact, there's an outbreak of STDs as a result of it. Did you know that?
Yes, I did. And apparently a lot of it has to do with Alzheimer's in the sense of how they...
Well, yeah, right. Oh, I didn't know what I was doing. Whoops. Whoops. I'm sorry. I didn't know what room I was in. Now, what did you take the Viagra for, Johnson? I mean, he didn't know what he was doing. I hear they fornicate like minks in these old age homes. I mean, the problem is that you're not blind at that age. That's the problem. That's a reversal of what I... Okay, whatever. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage.
Schmendrick in the White House. Putz in the DHS. Wherever you turn, a moron is running something. And we're supposed to sit here. Oh, no, they're not going to touch us. That's why I'd rather talk about sex in nursing homes than, the people running the country. Because you can't do anything about enjoying... Look, let's go back to the primary statement I'm trying to make here, which is, it's an old statement. You know the old one, living well is the best revenge. You've heard that one. I don't know who said it. Lady Schmata. I don't know who said it. Living well is the best revenge. Who said that one? Probably Lord Chesterfield's illegitimate daughter. But anyway, another saying that goes along with that is you can never be too thin or too rich, right? I don't get that one. I mean, what? Who says thin is good? Thin is good if you like it. If you're fat, you're fat. If you're heavy, you're heavy. Too thin and too rich. I don't know the obsession with whatever. So here we are. Here we are. I've given you hope to realize you can have sex in your 90s. Now you have something to look forward to. Do you understand? It's not just sitting there drooling on yourself in a corner pushed with a curtain, in a wheelchair, crippled, crying to yourself, where the illegal alien steals the change that your family leaves with you. I mean, that's a horrible way to end. Pushed in a corner. That's a horrible thing to consider. A once famous, powerful man reduced to rubble in a corner, in a wheelchair, in a curtain, looking at a curtain, and no one moves him around. Just think about this. Just think about what you got to look forward to now. There's so much horrible news out there. Respiratory virus suddenly sickens hundreds of kids. How the new school year exposes students to contagion. No, it's not the new school year. It's how Obama's illegal alien children have caused this outbreak. Prove me wrong. There's only one way to prove me wrong, which is to culture the virus, see the strain of virus, compare it to the virus that's endemic in Nicaragua and El Salvador, and Guatemala. And then when you compare the two, if they match, you say, well, there's a good likelihood that Obama brought it in with the children. Then what? You think that will ever happen when you have a politicized CDC? Of course not. So to get at the truth in this country is almost impossible. That's why you have to rely upon your own common sense, number one, and men like me who still have common sense, great educations, and are willing to say it like it is. It's as simple as that. Now let's take some callers. WABC in New York City, the land of the Empire State Building and Broadway. WABC Josephine, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Dr. Savage, I'd like to you to reiterate on the LPA. You talked one time and your show was ended that you had heart disease in your family. And I have high cholesterol, high triglycerides, and you said the only thing you should be concerned about is your LPA. And could you?
Well, and I didn't exactly say that. What I said was is I've had early death in the male lineage of my family from heart attacks going back three generations. So I always thought I was doomed, right? And I've had a lifetime of blood tests, which have always shown disaster, lipid disaster. The lipids are all wrong, upside down. High triglycerides, LDLs that are wrong, HDLs that are wrong, and I don't take cholesterol medication because I tried it once and it made my legs ache, right? The only reason I'm living that I can figure out is because I've never had a heart attack, thank God, by the way. You know that, right? Josephine, I just want to clear the air. I've never had a heart attack. You get that?
Right.
Okay. But I have terrible lipids. So what's the answer? Well, there's a number of answers. And one of them is in the lipid analysis that my cardiologist did, he ordered lipoprotein A figures. Now, I asked for it because I was, you know, a researcher in collateral areas. So I said, well, can you see what my LPA numbers are? It turns out my LPA numbers are extremely low. Now, if you have high LPA, that's a very high risk factor for atherosclerotic diseases such as CHD and stroke. My LPA was extremely low, and I found that you can hardly modify it. It's almost impossible to lower LPA if yours is high. So, in other words, it's a gene that will give you low LPA. There's almost nothing you can do about it. Am I making sense so far?
What was your number, Dr. Savage?
I don't have it in front of me. It was in the twos, I think. Why, what's your LPA?
Six.
I'm not going to play cardiologist. You ask your doctor what it means. Because the LPA concentrations vary tremendously from 0.2 to 200 milligrams per deciliter. So, you know, yours is not particularly high. But it varies around the world, by the way. That's important for you to know. And the mean concentrations differ according to different populations and different ethnicities, incidentally. For example, the 2 to 3-fold higher LPA plasma concentration of populations of African descent when you compare them to Asian, Oceanic, or European populations, is something that's very interesting. But maybe that's a little too much information at once. What is LPA? What does it matter? What can you do about it? Well, I can't give you a whole story. You can probably read a bunch. Just go look up lipoprotein A. There is no treatment for an elevated lipoprotein except niacin. This is important for you to know. Niacin therapy can reduce lipoprotein A levels by 20 to 30%. Aspirin may also be beneficial. And the reason you're not hearing about it is because niacin is very cheap and so is aspirin. Okay?
Yeah.
There are no medications that work. There are certain herbs that may work. Vitamin C is extremely important. And you have to go back to the great genius who has been forgotten completely because of the medical establishment, and that would be Linus Pauling. Linus Pauling is extremely important in this study. And here's a kicker. Are you ready for this one? Vegetarians have higher levels of LPA than fish eaters. Did you know that?
No.
Well, that was one study. That's right. And, you know, this goes with something else I learned 30 years ago when I was doing my doctorate in epidemiology that stunned me. There was a study of railway workers in India, and it was a huge study. I think it was 20 to 40,000 people. So it's not one of these studies of, you know, 200 or 20 people where you can't draw any kind of conclusion. It was something like 40,000 railway workers in India, right? So they divided them up into two groups. Now, why does the railway worker have anything to do with it? Because they all had the same job type. You know what I'm saying? They weren't like in different fields. So you take all the people, so you can rule out profession. They were all railway workers. It was basic epidemiology of its time. One half of the group was vegetarian in India. The other half was not vegetarian. The vegetarian group had a significantly higher rate of heart disease and heart attacks than the non-vegetarian group. Did you know that?
No. Wow.
No one knows these things. Now, I'm not arguing that you should go out and get a hamburger, even though that's what I just ordered for lunch. In fact, I ordered a veal cutlet sandwich from a local Italian restaurant just now because I'm in the mood for it, with French fries on the side and gherkins. But the thing is, you should understand that it's not as clear-cut as you may think. Now, it's true that my tissue, my serum is always saturated with vitamin C, vitamin E, coenzyme Q, and a host of other nutrients. It's very important. You know that I'm also constantly eating garlic and onions, which are very important, and such. So it's not as simple as diet per se. There are many things that need to be looked at as well, and I thank you for that. I don't want to lose the audience, but there's too much stuff here. Are you ready for this? Some studies have also shown that regular consumption of moderate amounts of alcohol leads to significant decline in plasma levels of LPA. You like that one? Oh, good. Now you can go out and have your two drinks tonight. I used to love these studies that came out, when I was on the radio 15, 18 years ago when I first started. And the American Medical Association recommended that you had two drinks a day at the time. Remember? You're allowed to have two. I don't know how they came to two drinks. The answer was 2 ounces of alcohol per night was considered, recommended and safe. Well, the British Medical Association recommended 5 ounces of alcohol a night. So I used to jokingly say, although I am not an Anglophile, in this case, I tend to follow the advice of the British physicians. I think I'll stick to 5 a night. Well, that was then. I don't drink 5 drinks a night anymore. I'm up to 7. No, I'm just joking. I'm much less drinking. Much less drinking than I did in those days. The point is that you get older, you don't want to drink as much to begin with. But alcohol is a very, very fabulous thing to take in. No one has done any research on the benefits or risks of marijuana, by the way, with regard to heart disease. I've not seen one study. My guess is that marijuana increases inflammation. My guess is that marijuana increases inflammation to the point that it's absolutely dangerous for the long-term, let us say, profile of a person's health. That's all. But you're not going to hear that as well, because right now there's a mass hysteria about the benefits of marijuana, and you're never going to see any of this. And people wouldn't care anyway, incidentally. What else do you want to know about anything but health? Let's move away from the health stuff. I think I've done it. I think I'm going to go look up my number of the lipoprotein. I don't even know where the chart is anymore. I stopped getting the tests. There's no point even looking. What's the point of looking at it if you can't modify it, right? There's something you should know about lipoprotein A that I didn't tell you about, and it's about Linus Pauling's work on this 30, 40 years ago. It is so brilliant. Well, here's the take-home line. Vitamin C, vitamin C, vitamin C, vitamin C. Vitamin C, vitamin C, vitamin C, vitamin C. And I'm talking about crystal vitamin C. I'm not talking about tablets or capsules. Generally, it's very important you should know this. I was once a consultant in the vitamin business, and there are so many shysters in the vitamin business, it's not funny. And I knew the difference between the good manufacturers and the fakers, like in anything else. It's like diamonds, right? There's fugazis, there's fake diamonds, correct? Or bad diamonds, the same thing in vitamins. People say, I took vitamin C and it did nothing. It's because you don't know, A, the quality of the vitamin C, nor what dosage to take. That's an area I know a lot about. I mean, I don't know diamonds from a hole in the wall. You could sell me a piece of glass, I would think it's a diamond. I've no idea what the difference is. Well, I know vitamins, though, and I'll tell you right now that there's a big difference. So powdered vitamin C is very important. Most of the tablets are inactive. They have no potency whatsoever. Same with herbal medicine, herbs. You say, I took it and it did nothing. You were probably buying, straw chopped up in a little capsule put out by some shyster out of Poughkeepsie, New York. But if you want to get the good stuff, so you get the pharmaceutical-grade herbal medicine that's certified, usually it's made in Germany, by the way. The last I checked, the best herbs that were encapsulated were pharmaceutical-grade, and they came out of Germany. I don't know if Americans have caught up to that yet, but I'd rather not talk about it. 855-400-7282 is the phone number. I would say any topic is fair game. We haven't played any sound. I guess I should do it, because the poor guys work so hard on my show. We may as well have the laugh of the day. Pelosi's been very quiet lately. She must be on vacation in Italy learning how to improve her cooking or something. I haven't heard from her. I don't know where she is, thank God. But in the absence of Pelosi, we have John Kerry, who was the female version of Pelosi with regard to laugh lines. And the best ones, the best one today is about the anti-ISIS coalition that they're putting together. Listen to clip 4. You won't believe this.
For still others, it will mean demolishing the distortion of one of the world's great peaceful religions and counteracting the propaganda ISIL uses to recruit new supporters.
Okay. I hope he's right. There's an awful lot of them, though, who have distorted one of the world's great peaceful religions. It seems like it's growing by leaps and bounds. How's that happening? So now our new allies are the rebels in Syria. That's the new watchword. The girls from Harvard figured out that under the guise of defeating ISIS, we should arm the rebels in Syria. Now, these are the same rebels who came out today, were given $50,000 by ISIL to give up the location of Mr. Sotloff, whose head they cut off. So tell me exactly who the moderate Syrian rebels are. Does anyone have a list of them? I don't know who they might be. I don't think there's any such thing as a moderate rebel, because as I told you a year ago, even if there were moderate rebel groups trying to overthrow Assad, like the doctors, the teachers, the lawyers who got together in the small armies to try to overthrow him, they would easily be crushed by the more insane so-called rebels, which were Al-Qaeda members who have morphed into what's now known as ISIS. So the fact of the matter is there are no moderate rebels in Syria, none whatsoever. What would you like to talk about? Elwood in Jackson, Mississippi. I like this call. Go ahead, Elwood.
Hey, Doc, I think I figured out your mood because I'm sharing it myself right about now. We're both suffering from truth overload.
I think that's good. It's T.O. I suffer from truth overload syndrome, T.O.S.
That is correct, sir. And the only intelligent response to that is occasionally you need to talk about your jaguar, your little dog, your ukulele.
I gave up the ukulele shortly. That's funny you remember that. I took lessons for 3 months and gave it up. I am so non-musical. I don't understand it. I don't have a gene for that. You talk about genes. Either you have a gene for music or you don't. I don't have it. It's a terrible thing. I'm a kind of guy who would love to play the organ in my house and drive my neighbors insane. Unfortunately, I can't even play a keyboard.
Oh, well, you should keep trying. I was the most...
Or even the ukulele or a banjo, something to idle the hours away. You know, it would be nice at night sometimes with the dog.
Well, listen...
You know, but that's something I don't do. I have other methods of filling in the blank spaces in my life, such as writing, preparing a radio show, editing my journals. So, no, I fill it in with what I've learned to do with my so-called nervous energy, which is basically writing and such like that. But no, you're right. There's a point of no return with knowing what's going on. I think that's what you're saying, Elwood, isn't it? I mean, how much can you take of the so-called truth of this world? Isn't that what you're really saying?
That's exactly what I'm saying, sir.
Here you are, a guy from Jackson, Mississippi, and I'm originally from New York, lived in San Francisco all these years. There's certain universal truths that transcend culture, race, religion, age groups. And I think that's also true, Elwood. And here's something that transcends it all, and that's the break that I have to take right now on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, our Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust for wealth insurance, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN. Consult with your doctor, your cardiologist, and tell him to run a test for another lipid fraction called LPA. And you'll find out that you may find some interesting things. You can't correct a high LPA number except with niacin and some vitamin C, high doses of vitamin C. But your doctor will put you on an anti-cholesterol medication no matter what you say, because that's what they're basically in business to do, which is to push pills. Anyway, LPA cholesterol is a genetically controlled component. And it's a carrier protein for LDL into the cells. It's very important for you to know that because, you know, the LDL and the HDL levels we've all heard about. But this is a carrier protein for LDL into the cells, right? So what you want to do is have a very low LPA because you don't want to have LDL carried into your cells. You get it? That's how that works. Another one you should look at is homocysteine, which is an extremely interesting study unto itself. And if you look up homocysteine, you should have that done. I'm always into the PSA. Again, that's a male thing. My PSA always been low. I'm very lucky with that. Low PSA, probably for reasons I can't describe on the radio. I have a low PSA. And the phone number is 855-400-7282. Why am I having fun? This is not allowed.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Long way from when you described them as a JV team. Was that bad intelligence misjudgment?
Keep in mind, I wasn't specifically referring to ISIL. We have been very clear to the Assad regime, but also to other players on the ground.
Yeah, player, I love that word.
A red line for us is we start seeing a whole bunch of chemical weapons moving around or being utilized. I've said that regionally, there were a whole series of organizations that were focused primarily locally, weren't focused on the homeland, because I think a lot of us, when we think about terrorism, the model is Osama bin Laden and 9/11. Finally, I would note that the end of war in Iraq reflects a larger transition. The tide of war is receding. The drawdown in Iraq allowed us to refocus our fight against Al-Qaeda and achieve major victories against its leadership. Well, they're not a JV team, but keep in mind that we anticipated some of these problems in the speech that I gave at West Point.
In between golf.
You know, several months ago, where I specifically said our goal should not be to think that we can occupy every country where there is a terrorist organization.
No. We're leaving behind a sovereign, stable, and self-reliant Iraq with a representative government that was elected by its people.
But as you well know, he's untouchable. He's the untouchable Barack, the untouchable Obama. Even the New York Times is slightly moving away from him. The article is a president whose assurances have come back to haunt him. That's as far as they'll go. And he says, when President Obama addresses the nation on Wednesday, that's tomorrow we get his speech, with his plan to defeat Islamic extremists. I love that. Islamic extremists. Don't you love that one? It's a fair bet he will not call them the JV team. Nor does he seem likely to describe Iraq as, quote, sovereign, stable, and self-reliant with a representative government. And presumably Obama will not assert after more than a decade of conflict, quote, that the tide of war is receding. This is the New York Times. They've moved slightly, just slightly. They won't admit that the guy doesn't know what he's talking about and he's a liar. He's an incompetent liar, period. Any other president would have been impeached by now by his own party to save the party and the country. But what are you going to do? You've heard all of this before. It's truth overdose, as we said, which is why instead of this, I was talking about that in the last hour. And that was everything else but that. The respiratory illness outbreak in the Midwest, which I started talking about last week. And the golfer, of course, picked up almost my every word this morning and yesterday, which is nice. Because when you are the lead dog in the sled, on the sled, all the other dogs are looking at you behind and barking at you. It's that simple. And imitation is the greatest form of flattery, as they say, and I appreciate that very much. So I talked about the marriage of newlyweds ages 96 and 95 and the fact that in nursing homes, men outnumber women by about 10 or 20 to 1, and that men can still, you know, whatever, until in their 90s. Would you believe that one? You didn't know that. People think, oh, they just sit there and watch TV. Forget about it. There's a big epidemiological problem, the outbreak of STDs in nursing homes. You didn't know that. I mean, we're focused on the viral spread of Ebola in Africa. That's depressing, especially when you have an idiot running the country who was sending U.S. military personnel to the source of the illness. That's very smart. That's something that only a community organizer who is so dumb that he can't see outside of his own agenda would do. Why would you take the U.S. military and send them to an infectious zone in Africa without calculating the potential risk of them bringing Ebola back and infecting others, including other troops, unless you were either so stupid, your advisors were so stupid or so evil that they would risk the entire U.S. military in a venture such as this. And no one says a word. Not a doctor. No one. Lawyer, Indian chief. Nothing. Not a poodle even barks and says a word. So this is a problem. This is a real problem. And that's why people are frustrated with talking about politics, because they know, even let's say people who don't like him because they know he's an incompetent liar and he's a phony and he's has clay feet, the whole thing, which is most people with an IQ over 80. Anyone with an IQ over 80 knows what this character is by now. But it's very dangerous when you have Ebola spreading as rapidly as you do in Africa. And this jerk's sending the military there, our military, mind you, to Africa. Can you believe this? Can you believe it? It's as smart as bringing children from El Salvador, Guatemala, Nicaragua, who are infected with tuberculosis and other illnesses, and bringing them into America and dumping them in schools around America. Then there's an outbreak now of TB in Lynn, Massachusetts. Oh, they don't know why, though. They can't put two and two together. See, the TB, which just occurred all of a sudden in Lynn, Massachusetts, came out of the air. It didn't come from the infected children from Central America. The uninoculated children from Central America that Obama and his Alinsky cohorts dumped on Lynn, Massachusetts. No. That would be absurd to suggest that. This is Michael Savage, America's champion for borders, language, and culture. We're talking about every topic under the sun, not just politics, because politics polarizes you. You'd rather me do humor, I get it. But in order to do humor, I have to be in a humorous mood. Let me explain that to you. People say, you know, Mike, you're funny. When you're really funny, there's no one better than you. That's true, but humor cannot be manufactured. I can't sit up here for 3 hours a day, 15 hours a week, and do live comedy and make it up on the spot. No one on earth could do that. Most of the good humorists are reading scripts. They've got scripted material. Lenny Bruce used to say, give me 15 minutes of dynamite, okay, and he could win any audience. That means he rehearsed it, worked out the timing, worked out the punchlines, and he read it to himself in front of a mirror, then he delivered it. That's what you do when you're a really fine humorist. But you can't just do that 3 hours a day. So just reading what Obama does is humor unto itself, unless it was seen as unless it's seen for the tragedy it is, that we have such a corrupt political system and such a useless press that it can get away with it endlessly and over again. See, now that's not a humorous line. That's a factual line. That's something that anybody with a brain would agree with. But, okay, until the bombs go off again, God forbid, or until Ebola arrives in Manhattan, God forbid, or until, God forbid, the infections that the children are bringing all across the country suddenly hit some of the wise guys on the Upper East Side or wherever, God forbid, you're not going to hear anything about it. So that's it. You have any Gene Autry till I'm back in the saddle again? I was talking yesterday about how I grew up loving Gene Autry, trapped in a little tenement with tragedy around me and my family that I withdrew into music. And it was mainly listening to Gene Autry music on my little Victrola. I had a wind-up Victrola. Could you imagine how far back that goes? That's earlier than the Royal Portable typewriter that I used in high school. Can you imagine? I actually grew up typing on a Royal Portable typewriter. I wonder if they're worth anything today. I love it. Play it louder. I love Gene Autry as a kid. All of my early romantic interests were cowgirls from Western movies. What was that about? I never saw a woman who looked like that. The women that I knew all had babushkas and weighed 300 pounds. Well, no wonder I like cowgirls. No, there was nothing wrong with the women in my show. I'm just saying they were lovely women. But they were definitely looked like Stalin's housekeeper. Everywhere I turned in the Bronx, everyone looked like Stalin's housekeeper with like a cot, a kerchief, and they went to the store. Everything was a mission. All right, turn it off already. That was way before the Dallas cheerleaders. I was into the Roy Rogers, Dale Evans. They were a wonderful couple. I mean, they gave, and they were picked on too by the leftists. They did something wrong, like being too good to the poor. That was Gene Autry. Who was he married to? Does anyone know? Did Gene Autry have a girl, or was that? That don't give me the Brokeback Mountain. I don't want to hear this now, years later. Please don't throw that in my face. No, come on. He was married, wasn't he? What was Gene Autry's horse's? He had a horse named Champion, right? I like Tonto. Who was Tonto with? Who did he ride along with? There was Tonto. There was Lone Ranger was hot with the mask. God only knows what he did for his entertainment. Yeah, oh, I get it. So that was before Brokeback Mountain. Ah, that was the implication. Ah, I get it. Okay. Well, okay, whatever. They were ahead of their time. 1-800-455-825. I don't know my number. 800-45000. 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. You want to hear the news? It's so horrible, I dare not read it to you. All right, let's go to michaelsavage.com. Top right, immigrants and epidemic. Savage tried to warn America 30 years ago. Give me a gold star and a halo. Top left, stop the coming civil war. Pre-order today. Stop Obama from granting amnesty for illegal aliens. It links to the Barnes & Noble. Again, it's linking to the ebook. Can someone please fix my website? The ebook's number 25,000. In hardcover, it's number one. Why are you linking it to the ebook? I don't want to sell the ebook right now. Unbelievable. Everything you have to micromanage in this world, down to the last detail. All right, let's take some callers on the Savage Nation. 855-407-282. It's about 16 minutes after the hour. My veal cutlet sandwich just arrived. I can smell it in the radio kitchen, and I'm dying. I'm going to take a call from you, and then I'm going to run and eat the veal sandwich during the break, and then I come right back. Sacramento, Alex, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hi, Michael. Thanks for taking my call. I do have a question about nutrition for you today. Before I get into that, I just want to say that I've been listening to you for at least probably 10 years. It's the first time I've called in.
And wow.
I do consider you a national treasure, and I thank you so much for being on the radio.
Please don't say it too loudly, because if Obama hears that, he'll target me.
I think you're too late for that. I'm sure you're targeted and been retargeted.
Yeah, I'm sure. I talk to the NSA every day, every time I pick up my cell phone. What's on your mind?
Well, here's what's on my mind. I'm 40 years old. The last 10 years, at least, I've been eating at least 3 eggs a day, soft boiled or soft scrambled in butter.
Yum.
And every time I talk to people about this, they always say, you know, that's the most unhealthy thing you could do. It's as bad as smoking cigarettes. And we get into this big discussion about it. And
all right, so let's talk about you. Have you had a heart attack?
No, not at all.
What's your lipid? What are your lipids like?
You know, I haven't been to the doctor in probably at least 10 years.
Well, don't go near him. He'll kill you altogether. No, you're better off. He'll start putting on medication. You'll be crippled within 3 minutes. They'll put you on Lipitor or something like that. You won't be able to walk. You'll get leg pains from it. Here's the thing about eggs and other high cholesterol, quote-unquote high cholesterol foods. It's not about the cholesterol or the saturated fats so much as it is whether these fats are oxidized and therefore contribute to the atherosclerosis, the plaque, in other words. And so what you must do is comprehend that you can virtually eat everything you like eating with impunity, except sugars. And I'm going to go into that at another time. Sugar is far more deadly for the human body than our fats, incidentally. In fact, the sugar disease is probably the greatest killer in our country. The lipids, however, the fats, are not as harmful as they once were thought to be, especially if you are taking or eating, I prefer taking, nutrients that will prevent oxidation of the fats. I assume you don't take vitamins either.
No, I mean, I do take vitamins, actually, but I don't take the ones from the store. I take, it's that Dr. Wallach stuff. It's the...
I don't want to give out a name, but if you're taking enough vitamin C and enough vitamin E and sufficient small amounts of the B vitamins, you're probably not going to be oxidizing some of these fats unless you have a family predisposition to doing so. Now, Give Eggs a Break was a program that was run for a while, and I think that's a very good idea. I'll be right back. It's the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust to protect my wealth. Call 800-BUY-COIN. So the headline on the Drudge Report is Hospital Sets Patient Record as Mystery Virus Spreads. It's not a mystery virus. It's the same exact strain as that found in endemic in Nicaragua. Nicaragua is the home of some of the dreamer children that Obama dumped into our public schools. Any other president would be arrested for this. If it could be proven he did it on purpose, it's an impeachable offense. If it could be proven he did it without knowing the consequences, he could be impeached for it for being a dummy. In either case, he should be impeached for it. But okay, what the heck. Add that to the litany and the list. And then let him get away with it because you're afraid you'll antagonize Al Sharpton or NBC. In Massachusetts, Lynn, Massachusetts, he dumped illegal alien children into Lynn because Lynn was a working class factory town, poor whites. Now you have hundreds now fearing that they have TB. That's where they dumped the illegal alien children, remember? The people said, don't do it. Obama said, you know what, I'm going to golfing. Albuquerque, New Mexico, KKOB, Albuquerque. Henry, what's on your mind, Henry?
Dr. Savage, I've been wondering lately how it was that Bo Bergdahl managed to get out of Afghanistan with his head on his shoulders.
You know, that's an interesting question. Why would the Islamists who cut off the heads of Foley and Sotloff have released Bergdahl? There's only one answer. And that answer is logical and obvious to anyone in Army intelligence, which doesn't exist anymore. It's now called Obama Army Intelligence, which is how to destroy America. But the answer would be that they released Bergdahl because he could be a Trojan horse. He was one of them, in other words, after they got through with him. Would that fit the bill?
One of several things that would fit the bill, yes, sir. There are several other concerns.
Well, what would your suspicions be?
I'm almost reluctant to say it, Dr. Savage. I think it's probably because he went to them voluntarily is the only thing that I can.
Oh, he went across. Well, he did leave his platoon. He abandoned them during a wartime. Of course, that's a court-martial offense. But that, under Obama, that's considered a Gold Star event.
I'm sorry, I'm an old
man. Anyone who leaves American troops behind and joins the enemy would be given a Medal of Honor, a Medal of Valor from Obama. No, Henry, you raise a good point. Why didn't the Islamists behead Bergdahl? The only explanation is that he's one of them. I mean, he was an American military guy who they captured. They didn't cut his head off, right?
That's right, sir.
Henry, you see, this is why I love radio, because I get more intelligence from my listeners than I do from the newspapers. And so do the listeners who listen to the Savage Nation. It's that simple. 855-407-282, that's the phone number. We're dealing with an open mic today, as it probably will be every day this week, because if I limit it only to politics, you know, you're going to get bored. There's a limit to it. We can all take only so much. So nursing home sex, LPA, whatever you want to talk about, eggs. I really don't want to do health stuff. I'll do it if it's related to the news. So the two health issues related to the news are Obama dumps illegal aliens who are infected with TB, respiratory illnesses, scabies, and other illnesses into schools around America. Now suddenly there's a mystery virus spreading among school children, and no one can figure out why. They're dumbfounded. All the $1 billion that are being spent on scientists have no answers to this. They're busy with their pipettes, aren't they? Sure. It's the Savage Nation. Be here or be nowhere.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
It is the Savage Nation. Imagine this. This is unbelievable. I got to read this to you. Neil sent it to me. Remember I was talking about how I grew up listening to Gene Autry, and I didn't know he was country. I knew he was Western and cowboy, and it was a way of my escaping my tenement life in New York. Little boy, home in the apartment. You know, it's not a tear job, but you know, there was a lot of sadness and tragedy in the household. I was neglected in the neglected in only one way, because they were busy with other things. And so I withdrew into Gene Autry, fantasy, comics, reading, playing around, a lot of friends. I was a very popular kid. A lot of friends. We used to run through the streets. We had a lot of fun together. I mean, parents let you run around wild in the streets then because nobody shot you. No one stabbed you. The most you get is a black eye or a bloody nose, or I had occasionally a rock in the head, a stick in the head. Not a big deal. You'd run home, they'd patch it up, and you'd run out again and see if you could hit the other kid first. So one of the games we played was, I lived on a street called Longfellow Avenue, and above us, it was hills. The Bronx had hills. There was a street above us called Bryant Avenue. I can remember to this day that you had to go up this hill, and there was an empty wood lot next to us, and it was all like sand and earth, and we'd play war. And it was our group from my street against them, and we would put garbage can covers in our hand, and on the other hand, we'd arm ourselves with the ashes that were created by burning garbage. In those days, they burnt the garbage in the buildings, and what was left were ashes, almost volcanic ash, large, jagged rocks, perfect to hit the kid with. So we'd have, in our left hand, a garbage can cover. In the right hand, we'd have a couple of rocks, and maybe one in our pocket. We'd try to charge up the hill and knock them down the hill and take over the hill. Boys do this. This is what boys do. So inevitably, I get hit in the head with a rock, and my head would split open and bleed. And I go back, and I would never show it to my mother because she was very nervous. She'd become hysterical. I'd be bleeding, and she'd be screaming, so I wouldn't show it to her. Instead, I'd knock on the door next to us. Living next door was my aunt, who was the sober Russian aunt. I loved Aunt B. She'd look at it like a doctor. Soberly, no anger, no nothing. Come, peroxide, bandage, go, fix. And I go back out, and this time I made sure that I held the garbage can cover up higher. So the rock didn't come cascading down on the back of my head. Now, one of the things I told you earlier is I like Gene Autry, right? Gene Autry is not known anymore. He had a weekly show on CBS Radio called Gene Autry's Melody Ranch. And he had a horse, Champion, who had a CBS TV and Mutual Radio series, The Adventures of Champion. In response to his many young radio listeners who wanted to emulate Gene Autry, Autry created the Cowboy Code, or 10 Cowboy Commandments. And these tenets, promoting an ethical, moral, and patriotic lifestyle that appealed to me and to other youths, in the Boy Scouts in particular, which developed similar doctrines. So what was the Cowboy Code for boys? Well, it was his philosophy. This is why I loved him as a boy. Here it comes. The cowboy must never shoot first, hit a smaller man, or take unfair advantage. He must never go back on his word or a trust confided in him. He must always tell the truth. He must be gentle with children, the elderly, and animals. He must not advocate or possess racially or religiously intolerant ideas. He must help people in distress. He must be a good worker. He must keep himself clean in thought, speech, action, and personal habits. He must respect women, parents, and his nation's laws. The cowboy is a patriot. Now, think about these rules and laws. Can you imagine if young boys were taught these rules today, what a different country we would have in 10 years than the filth and garbage that they're teaching these kids today? You imagine this? And this is all related. As I said to you, everything is political at the end of the day. So if I tell you a childhood story that I love Gene Autry, I knew it would lead to politics. Why did I love Gene Autry? Because he was a straight guy. He was a noble guy. He was a hero in plain English. He was someone for a boy to emulate. Who do boys emulate today? I don't know who they emulate. Who, the football player punched his wife in the nose and knocked her out in an elevator? And you wonder why you have the knockout game in the streets? Do you understand what I'm getting at? Who are the heroes of the boys today? I don't know who they are. Certainly isn't the President of the United States. It certainly isn't the Defense Secretary. It certainly isn't John Kerry. Who do boys look up to? I don't know. Maybe it's a nerd who runs Apple or something. I don't know who they look up to. Someone who made $1 billion or whatever. I don't know who the kids look up to. So they need a father figure. They need a father to teach them the right way. And none of us live up to these codes, by the way. You try your best. This is the thing to remember, because the minute you start preaching and give out a moral or ethical code, the leftists immediately sneer and say, well, what did he do? What did he do? What did he do? What did he do? Well, of course, that's what makes us human, because we're imperfect. But unless you have goals and aspirations, you're nothing. You're nothing. So you need goals and aspirations, knowing you'll fall short of them. It's that simple. You tell your son, shoot for these goals, but you can't expect to hit them all the time. Try your best. It's that simple. And as simple as that, it's not that hard. It's not that complicated. But who teaches such beautiful things anymore? I don't know. Okay. Next caller on the Savage Nation, Grand Rapids, Michigan. PJ, welcome to the program. Go ahead, please.
Yes. While I cannot stand your bumper music, you are the finest broadcaster in the Western world. But that doesn't mean I agree with everything you say. One of the things that I disagree with is that you seem to have a bias against the Catholic Church. And I'm getting sick of you talking about the Catholic priesthood, because you should know that the incidence of sexual abuse is no higher in the priesthood. It's just the media that has fabricated this.
Okay, let me answer that. I thought of not taking this call because it's like, have you stopped beating your wife? Let's go back in the 20 years I've been doing radio. You may be a new listener, PJ, but nobody more vociferously defended the accusations about the Pope during World War II than I. Remember, there was a book called Hitler's Pope. I researched it and vociferously disagreed with that. I defended the Pope, the World War II Pope, on this show. I'm sure you're not aware of that, but it's a very important point to remember. I also despise child molestation. I don't care whether it's from someone wearing a white collar or a black yarmulke. It gets me sick. And I have equally attacked the Orthodox Jewish community members who commit circumcision by using their mouth. I went on the air. I lost a lot of listeners who got mad at me. I didn't care. I think it's a barbaric, sickening practice. So what would you say? I'm anti-Jewish because I attacked them for using their mouth while performing circumcision?
No, this is what I'm saying. The Catholic Church is one of the things that stands on the cultural front against these utilitarians and these Jacobins, and I'd like to see you elevate it and lift it up a little bit more and not call for...
Wait. Hold on now. First of all, the traditional Catholic Church does that, but the modern liberal Catholic Church is the opposite of what you just said.
No, sir, we'd have to disagree. If you, for example, if you read the Catechism and on how it deals with immigration, you probably think that the modern liberal Catholic Church, as you say, is all for immigrants, all immigrants. But if you carefully read the Catechism, it says that, you know, countries are allowed to make laws protecting themselves. The United States doesn't want to make a law protecting itself.
Yeah, but who is some of the most vociferous supporters of amnesty for illegals? It's the Catholic Church.
Trying to take the heat off of the...
No, wait, you didn't hear what I just said. One of the most vociferous supporters of Obama's desire for amnesty for so many illegals is the Catholic Church.
I don't agree with it. It's individual bishops, but they're trying to take the heat off the HHS.
Well, wait, what don't you agree with? My statement or that position that the bishops have taken?
I don't agree with that statement, that position that they've taken. Because I...
So it's not my position that you're disagreeing with. It's you're disagreeing with your own church then.
Well, what I'm disagreeing with that, and I'm also disagreeing with you, though, sort of elevating that and highlighting it. Because that's just one of...
Well, no, what I've said is once the church becomes political, it's no longer a church. It's nothing but a political organization. I've also shown you that Catholic Charities receives billions of dollars a year from the federal government. And that's an embarrassment, and that's a way of co-opting the church as well. But they're not alone in that. It's happened with virtually every church on the planet, including the Catholic Church. They're all owned by the presidency, and they do what the president wants in order to keep receiving that largesse. That's also a fact. I didn't make that up.
But because of positions they've taken, the federal government has always already taken away money from them. In Massachusetts, they are no longer in the adoption program. They've taken hardline stands on issues and to take some of the heat off.
But, PJ, listen to me. Having said all of that, the teachings of Catholicism are something beautiful to behold. If you've heard my show, I've told you that I think it's a beautiful religion with magnificent rituals that are to be emulated by many in this country who do not emulate the Catholic Church. In fact, the traditional Catholic Church is extremely important to America. It is the liberal element of the Catholic Church, and I will say to you, the Pope is a Marxist. I saw it. I said it. He stopped putting out those missives. He comes from a background that's Marxist. Almost everything he espoused in the beginning was Marxist. Does that mean I'm anti-Catholic? No, it means I'm anti this Pope. A Pope is only a man, and men can be many things, and they can also be wrong. And so, therefore, that doesn't make me anti-Catholic Church. He dropped. Okay, you see, this is what happens. I don't know why he dropped. We were having a very good discussion. I didn't want to argue. I wanted to discuss. I didn't want to argue. But the thing is, I made my points. And my veal sandwich is getting cold. It's 45 minutes after the hour. This is the Savage Nation. Let's go to another caller. Not on religion, please. My mother taught me never discuss politics or religion. Well, was she wrong? If I didn't do politics and religion, I wouldn't have a career. We haven't done some of the good sound. Oh, this is a scream. As I said, Nancy Pelosi must be on vacation somewhere because we haven't heard from her laugh lines recently. But we've got Kerry, which we played. This is even better. Here's Janet Napolitano, who, as you know, as director of Department of Homeland Security, destroyed our borders, weakened us in every way possible. And as a reward, she was made the president of the University of California, and she's fast on ruining that university system as quickly as she can. So now she goes on the propaganda channel, MSNBC, and she tries to justify what she did as DHS secretary in clip 5. Listen.
Well, obviously, they've grown exponentially in terms of size and capacity and capability. Yes, they were on everybody's radar screen. They were there. The issue of travelers was already present. There were lots of kind of discussions with how do you get the region and the countries in the region to participate in a more vital and a more vigorous manner. But were they the dominant source of conversation? Not at the time, no.
In other words, she knows she's liable for what she did as DHS secretary. She fears that she'll be held liable one day in a trial by the American people. I pray to God there is such a trial. I really pray to God there's almost a revolution in the country, and that the people who have destroyed this country are called to trial, as any sane nation would do. These people have destroyed this country forever, at every level. Open the borders, permitted diseased individuals, brought diseased individuals in, permit ISIS to enter the country, let ISIS grow, supported those who would destroy. Everything they touched was wrong, either by accident or on purpose. They don't know what the heck they're talking about, or worse yet, they do know what they're talking about, and they're just covering their tracks because they fear the American people are about to catch up with them. See, I did politics. Didn't want to do that. 855-400-7282. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth with gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN. It is the Savage Nation. Oh, turn this off. This is already corny. The clapping I could do without. Welcome to the program. It's for 54 minutes after the hour. Now, here's a soundbite that we have to listen to. It's Henry Kissinger, where he says, Iran is a bigger threat than ISIS, which is intriguing since Obama's decided to make Iran our partner against ISIS. Can you believe this? Listen to number six.
There has come into being a kind of a Shia belt from Tehran through Baghdad to Beirut, and this gives Iran the opportunity to reconstruct the ancient Persian Empire, this time under the Shia label. From a geostrategic point of view, I consider Iran a bigger problem than ISIS.
Interesting, because I wrote that in 2006 in Liberalism as a Mental Disorder, where I said when Bush was about to launch this war against Iraq, I distinctly wrote it. I mean, in the Liberalism as a Mental Disorder, I said, I pray to God I'm wrong, but this could be the greatest military blunder in American history, because all it will do is, by weakening Saddam, it's going to embolden Iran, and you're going to see a new Persia emerge. So I don't think that Kissinger needed to read my book, but I did write it in 2006, and who am I? I'm not Henry Kissinger. I never was an advisor to a president. I may be an entertainer or an advisor to millions, but certainly not recognized by anyone important. How do you like that? How could I figure that out if I'm not working for government or for university? How is that possible? I read that Atlantic City is declining. Another hotel's gone bust. 8,000 casino jobs are expected to be gone by next week. Wow, you talk about the changing of fortunes. You know, it reminds me of a story that I read about Manaus in Brazil when I was an ethnobotanist. I always wondered about it. Manaus, deep in the heart of the Amazon, M-A-N-A-U-S, was once the home of the rubber industry for the world. And it was very deeply inland. Fortunes were made. Opera houses were built. Opulent estates were built in the middle of the Amazon jungle, upriver in the Amazon River in Manaus. And then the fortunes changed. And synthetic rubber was, rubber plants were stolen from Brazil, and they were brought to the East Indies. And rubber plantations were begun in Southeast Asia with stolen rubber plants. As a result, the fortunes of the rubber fortunes and the rubber barons in the Amazon diminished. They died off. And so slowly the jungle overtook the opera houses and the opulent estates. And I believe to this day you can visit this area and see jungles, vines overgrowing all of these opulent estates. It would be like looking back in San Francisco and seeing such vines growing over Pacific Heights, let us say 50 years from after the liberal dynasty.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Hello. What is this? It's not the song I asked. Patient record as virus spreads. New York Times says a president whose assurances have come back to haunt him. Chechen leader. This is an interesting story, but I don't want to talk about ISIS again. I'm sick of it. Let me give you some news headlines. Homeland Security Inspector General says the DHS is ill-prepared for a pandemic response to Ebola. That's very encouraging. Ebola spreading exponentially as patients seek beds in Liberia. And, of course, your genius commander-in-chief president is sending the U.S. military to a hot zone. For what reason, we don't know. Fourth U.S. Ebola patient infected in Africa, flown back to America for treatment. Another, this is idiotic, violates every rule of rationality for controlling an epidemic. Here's a positive note. Egypt gives leading Islamists 20-year prison sentences. Now, this is an interesting story for a couple of reasons. An Egyptian criminal court sentenced a top Muslim Brotherhood member and a prominent Islamist preacher to 20 years in prison. Blah, 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 blah. Now, you may know that the Egyptian government has cracked down on the Muslim Brotherhood, killing hundreds of its members, arresting thousands more, and carrying out mass trials following the July 3rd military overthrow of Morsi. But it's this government that supported the Muslim Brotherhood. The United States government lobbied for the Muslim Brotherhood to take over Egypt. And John McCain, the fool, went there and lectured the Egyptians, telling them that they should reinstall the Muslim Brotherhood. Can you believe this? You don't care about any of this. I get this. Let's see what else is in the news. Sex is in the news everywhere in the daily news. But I'm not interested in the sex news. It's boring. Hawks discipline Jim. No. Oh, the big thing is the Rice deal punching is, you know. Let's see what he has to say. I have to be strong for my wife. Disgraced Ray Rice speaks out for first time after getting indefinite suspension from NFL for knocking out spouse in elevator. Okay. What does he mean by strong for his wife? Disgraced NFL star Ray Rice's wife says no one knows the pain she's going through now that she's the center of a media firestorm over domestic abuse. Well, you know, you can't say it's between them. Could you say it's between them and it's not our business? That it's their own personal relationship and we have no right to comment on him knocking his wife out in an elevator? I don't think so. You know, and there's an interesting story in its way. I mean, how it's playing out. You can't justify it under any circumstance. But ruining his career forever over this? I don't know. I don't know how that works. James on KSO.
Sorry, I was watching something.
All right, please, make it quick, loud, fast.
Okay, I was wondering what you think of the possibility of terrorists using Ebola victims as suicide bombers.
Terrorists using the possibility of terrorists using Ebola as suicide bombers. Well, they couldn't do a better job rather than the CDC is doing by bringing infected patients into America. And topping both the CDC and potential terrorist attack with Ebola is the president sending military, U.S. military, to the hot zone. Thanks for your call. 855-407-282. I mean, sarcasm has its place. And if it strikes you as bizarre that I would say that, you can argue with me at 855-407-282 and tell me that we have the obligation to bring patients into America to treat them. I would disagree with you. Millionaire's defense, altruistic filicide? Gigi Jordan, a multimillionaire pharmaceutical executive, has called the death of her eight-year-old son a mercy killing meant to keep him from his father, who she said was abusive. I've never heard of this in my life. Have you heard of anything like this? Millionaire's defense, altruistic filicide. Have you ever heard of anything like this in your life? NFL faces more questions about video of Rice. And that's a story that we could talk about. In a Manhattan milestone of $1 million parking space. Sick of dents, dings, and parking musical chairs, parking spaces in a Soho condo are selling for $1 million apiece. All right. If you got it, flaunt it, I guess. If it's your money, spend it on a parking space for $1 million. Well, it's not my money. Florida, WFTL, Todd, what's on your mind? Go ahead, please.
How are you doing, Dr. Savage? Thank you for taking my call today.
What's on your mind?
I want somebody to answer a question for me. why is it that when this new video comes out of what actually transpired inside the elevator, does the NFL decide to do the right thing, which is ban the man forever? They saw the video that was available from the lobby where she was being dragged out unconscious. What did they think happened? He got mad at her and said, pass out so I can drag her out of the elevator. How do you think she got? I mean, come on.
I didn't see the video. So he punched her in the elevator, knocked her out, and dragged her out of the elevator by her hair?
I mean, what do you mean? He's dragging her out of the elevator. How do you think? Now they're surprised. Oh, we didn't realize he hit her. Really? Really? What do they
wow.
think? You know, he just asked her to lay down so he could drag her out because he was so...
Well, the NFL is filled with violent men. I mean, let's be honest about this. It's just you never see it or hear it. I mean, it's hidden. It's a very controlled world. No, no one knows what they really do. But these are violent guys who are our contemporary gladiators. So you would think that they're... You think they're violent, but when a thing like this happens, obviously, people are shocked to believe a man would punch a woman like that and knock her out, and of course they threw him out of the league. What, you don't think they shouldn't have? Todd, do you believe the NFL acted correctly in dismissing him?
Absolutely, I do.
Oh, so do I. Well, so do I. I'm saying what you're saying is how come they were so hypocritical in not realizing he was violent when he dragged her out of the elevator? They saw that before, right?
Well, exactly. I mean, if there's an intending, if there's a situation like this comes up with an NFL player, okay, he should immediately be suspended for one season. What is this, two games, and then you're... No, and you know what? That's probably being too nice. That's why... here, two games, you TKO'd your girlfriend.
Well, here's the bigger question, Todd. Are you shocked to find out that an NFL player beat his wife up? I mean, you're not shocked to hear that, are you?
I'm not shocked. No, I'm not shocked. I'm just severely disappointed because I'm an NFL fan, and this was ridiculous.
All right, I hear you on that one, but certainly we both agree that, he has to be dismissed, or you disagree. I think there was a politician who said that they're going too hard on him in dismissing him, by the way. I don't know who said that. I saw it earlier today. Does anyone have the news on that? It's very interesting. What do you mean too hard? The guy, beat his wife up in an elevator, knocked her out, dragged her out of an elevator in a hotel by her hair, and that's not enough to dismiss him as a ball? I don't know. I mean, what's the legality on that? What are the legal grounds for dismissing a player, incidentally? And that's an interesting question. Does his contract say... See, like in radio, we have a Pee Wee Herman clause. Like if you do something embarrassing that is, moral turpitude or whatever, and you get caught, they have the right to throw you off the air. I think that they call it... They used to call it the Pee Wee Herman clause in radio. I don't know what it's called today. But, does the same thing exist in Miss NFL? That if you get caught doing something like that, they have a right to dump you? I don't really know. I really don't know the answer to that. And that's something that I think is worth looking into. Do they have the legal right to dismiss a player? Never mind the ethical or moral duty to do so. Do they have the legal right to fire a player for committing such an act? Louisiana, Chris, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hey, Mike, I just wanted to make the point that, we're constantly told that women are equal to men physically. Women should be able to fly F-16s. Women should be able to be on the front lines. But then when something like this happens, the left immediately says, well, a man should never hit a woman, which I totally agree with that. So what I'm saying is a case like this, immediately their case totally falls apart. Obviously, there's a difference between men and women, and this case points that out.
Of course there is. We all know that. It doesn't mean that women are not capable of flying military jets, because some are. And I want to remind you of something that's very interesting. Now, it's a different. There's a difference between a woman who's capable of it, in flying a fighter jet, and a woman, let's say, fighting alongside the Special Forces or Delta Force. In other words, you understand the difference, correct?
Yes, I understand the difference, totally.
In a combat situation, on the front lines, carrying an 80-pound pack, whatever, a woman is going to be subjected to certain stresses that a man is not subjected to begin with. And why a woman would want to put herself in that position other than to make a political point is beyond imagination, other than to make a political point. But there are many patriotic women who are as tough as nails, who can beat up most men, and there's no reason they shouldn't be in the military. However, having said that, in terms of flying, if a person is capable of taking the G-forces, et cetera, I don't care who the pilot is. And I want to remind you while we're talking about this that one of Hitler's favorite test pilots was a woman. You may not know that. That's maybe neither here nor there, but even going back, what, 70 years ago in the German Luftwaffe, there was a female test pilot for Hitler in Goering's Luftwaffe, as it turns out. It's an interesting side note, you know. WFDM, Chris, you're up on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
I work for the state of Florida government, and, you know, there's a clause in our contract when you're hiring. So if you get arrested, you're gone. And I can't understand why the NFL doesn't have this type of
clause. No, I'm wondering, in other words, are they using that clause to get rid of Rice for having punched his girlfriend or what? I don't know what she, you know, irrespective of the fact that they should, but do they have the legal right to do so is the question.
I would think so. They're a private organization, and they are.
Well, what about the federal government? Do they have rules that if you sow, that you bring infected children from a third world nation into our schools, and children who are not infected become infected with a respiratory illness, they could fire you or put you in jail? How about that for a law? That would be nice. Then there goes the entire Obama administration. There goes the DHS. Look about how the Department of Homeland Security failed us on that one. The time is 2:18 on the West Coast, 5:18 on the East Coast. You're listening to the one and only Savage Nation. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Your Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust for tangible assets, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN. Look at this story. One person commits suicide every 40 seconds. That's a great story. That's very cheerful. What else is in the news? I don't know. Lowest poll numbers of his presidency. Big, very exciting. As far as I'm concerned, he has a zero poll rating for the day he started. That's all. Sorry, the poll rating. Up, down, really matters. The idiots know what's going on. If they knew what's going on, he would have been arrested a long time ago. If you're near a computer or you have an iPhone, would you please do me a favor? Would you go to michaelsavage.com? Would you please at least look at my new book, which is not out until October? I asked the publisher, I begged the publisher, I implored the publisher, please put the cover up. Stop the coming civil war, my savage truth. Stop Obama from declaring martial law, I say. You can pre-order the book right now. Send a message. Send a message to the world that you know what they're doing. But all right, that's the story. I'm so sick and tired of world events. And I'll tell you why. Because kill him or the end, leave me alone already. I'm sick of complaining about ISIS and Muslims and Islam. I'm sick of the thought already about the Islamic blitzkrieg that's taking over the West. I'm sick of it. Do something about it. Leave me alone already. We know what's going on. We know why it happened. We know how it's happening. We know who's behind it. We know what's going to happen if they're not stopped. And so I'd rather talk about soap or dresses or strawberry jam. Something like that, I swear to God. I mean, remember the old days of talk radio when I first started? It's very interesting how this medium has changed. It was not all political all day long. That's number one. It was not partisan all day long. That's number two. It was not either Republican or Democrat talking points. Number three. It was not president bashing all day long. That's number four. It was diverse. I mean, you had guys on radio who were good. They would do a segment on photography when you still had photography. They have a guy on with a camera. I know the guy who did it because he got free film. He was a real chiseler. But it was an interesting segment. A local Schmendrick, but he would have a guy. See, that's the problem is they'd have a lot of these guys on to get free stuff. They have a guy on with the camera stores. He'd come on and talk about how, you know, F 4.D and the dark with the hood and how to do it and what film. It was kind of interesting. Now with a digital camera, you can't even talk about photography. It's automatic. It's like press a button on the iPhone. No one even uses a camera anymore. I went on my trip to New York because I took an HD camera with me. You know, camcorder, whatever. Beautiful job. But the people who had the iPhones, the pictures were clearer. I couldn't believe it. Like, everything is outdated the next second. So what's the point of talking about? So you could put segments in. on radio in those days. It wasn't all politics all day long. You know where I stand politically. And when there's news, I'll talk about it. But, I mean, it's got to be more in life than the devils in the White House. How about the devils in the details? I mean, the fact of the matter is, the doctrine of devils is more interesting to me than the devils in the details or the doctrine in the White House. That was a heck of a book, The Doctrine of Devils. Does anyone know that book? See, here is another problem of mine. I may be too esoteric for talk radio. It may be too many years of reading, too many years of writing, too many years of quipping, too many years of clipping, too many years of whipping in order for me to do a show without losing some of the audience that doesn't understand my references because I've read too widely. I'm not boasting. But it's true. If I make a reference to Voltaire, no one knows who he is. You think the average person out there knows who Voltaire is? Why should they? If I say Dostoevsky, they don't know who it is. They think it's the name of a rock group from Queens. Dostoevsky and the Five Knights. Or, well, maybe they heard of Tolstoy. It's a bagel shop in Brooklyn. I don't know what it is. Or let's say they're calling them ISIS. So I get mad at the acronym because it's too nice. Right? So I rename them IKK, the Islamo-Klux Klan. That's a funny thing. How many people understand it? No one. Believe me, the labyrinth that is called the Middle East and the world is very hard to follow. And I don't blame people for turning it off and worrying about whether they can get onto the iCloud and see naked pictures of B and C grade Hollywood starlets who no one cares about. And of course, that's the highest priority of Obama's FBI right now. It's not uncovering the sleeper cells in America, but who published the naked photos of the starlets.
Savage.
And we're supposed to sit here, oh no, they're not going to touch us. That's why I'd rather talk about sex in nursing homes than, the people running the country. Because you can't do anything about enjoying. Look, let's go back to the primary statement I'm trying to make here, which is, it's an old statement. You know the old one, living well is the best revenge. You've heard that one. I don't know who said it. Lady Schmata. I don't know who said it. Living well is the best revenge. Who said that one? Probably Lord Chesterfield's illegitimate daughter. But anyway, remember yesterday and the day before yesterday and last Thursday and last Wednesday and whatever, I was talking about the cluster of the mystery virus and illegal aliens? I ask questions on my show that are very important, and of course the government is lying to you. And I'm asking the questions again. The virus outbreak in the Midwest and the TB outbreak in Lynn, Massachusetts are, in my opinion, directly related to Obama's dumping of illegal aliens into America. Now, I can't prove it, but it's very easily proven or disproven. And any rational scientist, especially one who calls themselves a member of the Centers for Disease Control, would want to explore that, wouldn't they? But no. Not this group of propagandists. The Stalinists with medical and PhD degrees are disgraceful. Here's a spokesmouth for the CDC says the following, and I got to read it to you because you're not going to believe this. They're convinced that it is not has nothing to do with the dumping of illegals. How can they be sure of that? There's one way to find out, right? It's very easy. What you do is you look at the strain of virus that has infected the children. And then you look at the strain of virus that was endemic in Nicaragua and El Salvador. And if they're the same, you say, well, it's pretty clear that Obama's responsible for this viral outbreak and he should be impeached for this alone. But you know that won't happen because he owns the CDC and these little tiny scientists, these minuscule men and these minuscule women in the CDC won't even investigate that. And by the way, it's all to our detriment. And as I said to you last night on the Savage Nation, microbes do not discriminate. They don't care if you're a good Democrat, liberal. They don't care. They'll infect you just as well. And the only reason that you're not hearing about it is because nobody in New York has been infected with this yet. It hasn't hit the Upper East Side yet. Hasn't hit Washington, D.C. Hasn't hit San Francisco. And you know why? Because Obama didn't dump illegals there. He only dumped them in areas where people might have voted against a Democrat. In July, Savage warned of rampant spread of once contained or eradicated diseases reentering the U.S. through the latest flood of illegal aliens. I said that so what do I want? A halo for this? I want a medal, a Boy Scout medal of honor. I don't know what I want. It's getting me sick, though. What's getting me sick is the diseased minds that are running America. That's really getting me sick. But let me remind you of something. Let me make it very simple for you. There are very clear rules and guidelines outlining what any president could or could not do through an executive order. And the most important thing for you to remember is that an executive order cannot make law. It can only clarify a law that exists. Did you hear me? It can only clarify a law that was put forth by the Congress or the Constitution. Every president before this scoundrel have been careful to cite which specific laws they're acting under when issuing new executive orders. Did you hear what I said? This scoundrel, though, says he's going to make up his own law because he is a law unto himself because he's Barack Obama. He's gotten away with everything he's wanted his whole life. He can't believe that there's such a thing as a Constitution and a Congress, let alone the American people. Who the hell do they think they are? They're nobody. Who needs them? Well, let me explain to you that until 1952, there were really no rules or guidelines outlining what a president could or could not do through an executive order. But it was tested. When was it tested? The Supreme Court ruled in the Youngstown Sheet and Tube Company versus Sawyer that Executive Order 10340 from President Harry Truman placing all steel mills in the country under federal control was invalid. Why was it invalid? Supreme Court said it was invalid because this executive order attempted to make law rather than clarify a law that was put forth by the Congress of the Constitution. So Truman was overridden by the Supreme Court, and his executive order was thrown out. Obama must know that. He's a genius. He's a genius lawyer. He's abusing his position of power. That's why I wrote the novel Abuse of Power years ago. Abuse of power has a meaning to it. But if this man thinks he's going to get away with an executive order, with the sweep of a pen, to satisfy the gangsters in La Raza, he's mistaken. He will trigger an insurrection in this country, which is what I fear is what he wants. Which is why I wrote Stop the Coming Civil War. Yeah, you're going to hear a lot more about it rather than a lot less. What does it mean for our freedoms and our way of life that this president can, with the sweep of a pen, grant amnesty to 50 million illegal aliens? Now, they say 11 million. They've been saying that for 8 years now. Can you imagine what a lying government this is, that for 10 years now they've been saying that there's 11 million citizens here who should be illegal? How can it be 11 million? How do they know it's 11? How do they know it's not 10.5 million or 11.9 million? My guesstimate is it's 50 million with the families, the hidden families. The country just fiscally can't afford it. Our nation is in real trouble. And the seeds of a second conflagration have been sown by Obama. Now, the reason he decided not to write his little executive order before the election is because he would have triggered the end of the Democrat Party as we know it. Even they know it would have been the end of the party. They know that. And in my book, Stop the Coming Civil War, which will be out in about a month from now, I'm asking you to look at, buy it. It's selling like crazy in advance. It's become number one on BarnesandNoble.com. In fact, they went back to press already before publication. They know it's going to be a raging hit. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from, SwissAmerica.com.
Hot Talk 560, KSFO.
Come to the best part of the show for many people, which is a summary of all the news and the best sound of the day on the Savage Nation, home of Borders, Language, Culture, and now the new bestseller entitled Stop the Coming Civil War. The biggest news story for me is not ISIS. It's the lying government. Hundreds of people are being tested for tuberculosis in Lynn, Massachusetts. That's the town that Obama dumped illegals in. Infected, sick, diseased, illegal aliens were thrown into Lynn, Massachusetts. A working-class factory town. He chose the poorest white community he can find. He dumped the illegals there. TB is now on the rampage. But that's just the beginning. The mystery virus is spreading amongst children. The hospitals are setting patient records as children are brought in sick as dogs. With what? A mystery virus? It's not a mystery. Anyone in epidemiology like Michael Savage knows what this virus is. The virus is endemic in El Salvador. It has a name. It's very simple. It didn't come out of the blue. It's an enterovirus EVD68. Well, sure, it's not uncommon. That's not the point. But the patients are entering the hospital because they're being infected from the children that Obama dumped into these poor communities around America. Any other president would have been impeached for this. But I'll slow down because you don't want to hear this. You think this is just Obama bashing? No, Obama's America bashing. And I'm trying to tell you what he's doing to this country. So what does it matter, you say? He's still president. But every Democrat who supports him should be thrown out come November. Do you understand that? If you don't dump the Democrat Socialist Party, you'll get diseased. You'll get blown up by one of these ISIS members running all over America because of this moron running the country. Even the New York Times is turning on him. They say he has a fundamentally misguided view of the world. Are you kidding me? That's the best they can say after all these years of a disaster? It's going to get much worse, I'm warning you. And I'm telling you again, you can do something about it. You can buy Stop the Coming Civil War. That's my new book. It's out October 7th. Why am I hammering the book so much? You think I want to get rich? Let me explain something to you. This country is on the brink of extinction. Laugh if you want. If you tell me that when you read that one out of three children in California is an illegal alien who does not speak English, tell me what the future of this country looks like. They're not all going to integrate. They're not going to all assimilate. If you want to know what America will look like under Jerry Brown, take a look at Tijuana. That's what the Democrat Socialist machine wants, is ignoramuses who don't even speak the language so they can pull the wool over their eyes and build railway lines to nowhere. So what does my book have to do with it? If you get the book and you simply hold it at work, put it on your desk at work, put it on a coffee table, and people say, what's this Stop the Coming Civil War about? Bingo. You have the billboard. You have a discussion. You have a chance to throw the bums out. Now, here's the sound of the day. Today's sound is amazing. We have a montage of Obama walking back all of his comments. All of his comments. All of his comments. All of the statements he made, such as the ISIS is a JV team. He walked that one back. All of the comments he made, such as, now he's saying he wasn't specifically referring to ISIL. He changed their acronym, of course. Everything the man said, such as he said the U.S. armed forces in Iraq were leaving behind a sovereign, stable, and self-reliant Iraq with a representative government. Which moronic girl from Harvard wrote that for him? Nothing the man has done has worked. Nothing. Nothing he's done is correct or true. Nothing. Okay? So listen to that montage.
We have been very clear to the Assad regime, but also to other players on the ground, that a red line for us is we start seeing a whole bunch of chemical weapons moving around or being utilized.
I've said that regionally, there were a whole series of organizations that were focused primarily locally, weren't focused on the homeland, because I think a lot of us, when we think about terrorism, the model is Osama bin Laden and 9/11.
Finally, I would note that the end of war in Iraq reflects a larger transition. The tide of war is receding. The drawdown in Iraq allowed us to refocus our fight against al-Qaeda and achieve major victories against its leadership.
They're not a JV team.
Well, they're not a JV team, but keep in mind that we anticipated some of these problems in the speech that I gave in West Point several months ago, where I specifically said our goal should not be to think that we can occupy every country where there is a terrorist organization.
We're leaving behind a sovereign, stable, and self-reliant Iraq with a representative government that was elected by its people.
Then we have John Ketchup Kerry, perhaps one of the most distorted people ever to have inhabited the Secretary of State's office, which is saying a lot. Listen to what he says now. He says, the anti-ISIS coalition is going to demolish the distortion of one of the world's great peaceful religions. Right? Did you hear that? He says it will mean demolishing the distortion of one of the world's great peaceful religions.
For still others, it will mean demolishing the distortion of one of the world's great peaceful religions and counteracting the propaganda ISIL uses to recruit new supporters.
Oh, okay. Tell that to the next victim of radical Islam, John. Then we have Janet Napolitano, who single-handedly decimated the Department of Homeland Security and was rewarded for this by going to the University of California, where she's rapidly doing the same thing. And now she's covering her behind and saying that ISIS was on the White House's radar screen before she left.
Well, obviously, they've grown exponentially in terms of size and capacity and capability. Yes, they were on everybody's radar screen. They were there. The issue of travelers was already present. There were lots of kind of discussions with how do you get the region and the countries in the region to participate in a more vital and a more vigorous manner. But were they the dominant source of conversation? Not at the time.
Oh, my God. Liar, liar, skirts on fire. Here's John Boehner back from his, I don't know where he went, to the Antarctic probably, to keep the scotch cold. He said he's been calling for an ISIS strategy since January. Another Johnny-come-lately.
I've been calling for a strategy to deal with a growing terrorist threat since January, when ISIS came across the border in western Iraq. We have a very serious problem. What we need is a strategy. And until there's a strategy, there's no room to talk about any of the specifics, because I don't know how they fit in to the broader strategy.
Here's old Henry Kissinger saying Iran is a bigger threat than ISIS.
There has come into being a kind of a Shia belt from Tehran through Baghdad to Beirut. And this gives Iran the opportunity to reconstruct the ancient Persian Empire, this time under a Shia label. From a geostrategic point of view, I consider Iran a bigger problem than ISIS.
Really? Iran is now our coalition partner against ISIS, Henry. Which war are you fighting? Then there's old Ben Carson, who says if Obama can't even say the word war, how can he fight it? Good line.
Until he actually is able to utter the words, we're at war with these terrorists, I don't know that he will ever be able to do what's necessary. If he can't even utter the words, how will he actually be able to execute the action?
There's old Dianne Feinstein, chairwoman of the Senate shopping cart conspiracy, where she says if Obama acts unilaterally on immigration, it will be challenged.
Well, I'm of the opinion that the way this should be done is legislatively, because anything else will be challenged and probably will not be nearly the bill that is actually needed to solve the problems.
Gee, Diane, how brilliant are you? You should get a Nobel for that one. For the best bet, go to michaelsavage.com, home of the Savage Nation. On the top right, immigrants and epidemics, Savage tried to warn America 30 years ago. Another piece, youths laugh on video as black mob beats store employee unconscious. Whoops. Ooh. Uh-oh, it's on tape. Meanwhile, our moderate friends, the moderate Syrian rebels, are the ones who sold Sotloff to ISIS for $50,000. Are you listening to this? The moderate Syrian rebels that Obama and McCain have been trying to tell us are our friends sold Sotloff to ISIS before they cut his head off. Who the heck is in charge of this? Children's hospitals in 10 states report spike in respiratory illnesses. And what your government is not telling you, I, Michael Savage, will tell you. I'm a trained epidemiologist. It's from the children that Obama dumped in the communities across America. Obama's worse than Putin in terms of his threat to this country. Well, that's it. God bless America and good night.
Savage.